A mind overwhelmed by emotion that is rooted in the past instead of the present, that cannot see the world with clarity or urgency, will create strategies that always miss the mark. Bring it on all day. What's going on? Happy Monday or Tuesday if you're listening to it a day late. Or Thursday or Friday, whatever day you're listening to is fine, actually. We just appreciate that you're listening to Improve This, powered by Lock and Ladder. I'm John Strand. Got a great meeting for you today on thinking well, thinking better, and how you can apply strategy to your life and your work. Hope you find it encouraging. Okay, so I want to piggyback off of last week's meeting on thinking big. I put a lot of thought into this, and I think we have to add another phrase to think big and think well. We need to prioritize good thought. When it comes to thinking well, I want to look at strategy. And I want to encourage you guys to think of your own lives like, am I bringing any strategy here? What is the strategy? And let's define what is strategy. Strategy is a noun. It is a series of lines and arrows aimed at a goal. And by the way, I pulled this definition from the 33 Strategies of War book that I'm reading by Robert Greene. Fantastic book. A series of lines and arrows aimed at a goal, at getting you to a certain point in the world, at helping you attack a problem in your path. The strategy, it's getting you to a certain point in the world, it's helping you attack a problem in your path, and really it's aimed at getting a result. And one thing I love about sales and being in a sales culture is you get paid for results. That's it. You don't get paid for trying. You don't get paid for effort, you get paid for results. And so strategy starts to become very important, because if you don't get the result, you don't eat. I want to look at some additional definitions. It is a detailed plan for achieving success in situations such as war, politics, business, industry, or sports. A detailed plan for achieving success in situations such as war, politics, business, industry, or sports. Number two, a long-range plan for achieving something or reaching a goal. The etymology of strategy, the French used it in the 1800s, strategy. I'm probably saying that totally wrong, but it actually was literally defined as the art of a general. So strategy, when they first were using that word, the art of a general. It comes from the Greek strategia, which is the office or command of a general. We'll come back to that. If you think of yourself as you're the general of your own life, right? Essentially, you're going to want to be strategic. I'm going to quote this 33 Strategies of War book, but your mind is the starting point of all war and all strategy. A mind overwhelmed by emotion that is rooted in the past instead of the present, that cannot see the world with clarity or urgency, will create strategies that always miss the mark. So this is really important. I'm going to read this again. You don't have to write it down, but your mind is the starting point of all war and all strategy. A mind overwhelmed by emotion that is rooted in the past instead of the present, that cannot see the world with clarity and urgency, will create strategies that always miss the mark. So let's look at some historical examples. When Napoleon invaded Prussia back in 1806, Napoleon had a bunch of swift victories. He was starting to get a huge reputation. And a lot of the Prussian generals thought Napoleon was just a joke. They thought he was a hack, not a real leader, and had never really fought a real battle against a really well-oiled, well-regimented, trained machine. They couldn't wait to fight him. There was one general, Hohenlohe, who especially was eager to fight Napoleon. And so when Napoleon aimed towards Prussia, they got so excited, because they're like, we're bringing back the glory days of Frederick the Great. They had all studied Frederick the Great. This army was just, they thought Napoleon's army was undisciplined. All sorts of, the generals came up with all the old strategies that made Frederick the Great's campaigns, and they knew exactly what made him successful. They knew how they were going to be successful. And so when they finally made contact with Napoleon, it was one of the most historic military losses in history. The Prussians were absolutely decimated. They had superior army, superior training, superior quote-unquote tactics. And I forget the name of the town, but there's a town where these two generals met, and they said Napoleon's army just, they moved swiftly, and they would shoot and move and run. They referred to him as like this barrage of demons that just, and the Prussians, they had to retreat, they regrouped, they remarched on the city to retake the city, and just marching in the open field, and these guys are behind walls and just destroyed them. What happened was you had a change in technology and a change in military thinking, where you had this well-regimented, oiled machine, but you had new tactics of war that were introduced, you know, as well as better rifles, better guns. And these generals were stuck in the past. And what had worked in the past, they executed that perfectly, but they weren't at all in the present. And I love this quote in the book. This is a long one. You don't really have to write it down. But what limits individuals as well as nations is the inability to confront reality, to see things for what they really are. These Prussian generals were unable to see reality. They were stuck in the past. They were stuck on the past victories. Because they didn't understand the dynamics of what Napoleon's army was going to bring, it was one of the worst military defeats up to history in that point. You adapt strategy to the circumstances of the moment. The problem, and Robert Greene talks about this, the problem is not knowledge. When you fail, when you don't get something right, like you ever have those moments, you're like, oh gosh, I wish I had known that before. Or I wish I'd heard that thing before. No, the problem is not knowledge. The problem is that we are unattuned to the present moment. And that was always the problem. That's the problem at the door. When you get that homeowner that says something, you freeze, you can't think, you don't have the rebuttal. You think of it 10 minutes later. You get, you ever have somebody insult you? And like 30 minutes later, you're like, oh, I wish I'd said that to this guy, right? Yep. The problem wasn't the knowledge that you were lacking right there. The problem was you were not fully in tune with the moment. In fact, they said something offensive. Your mind got clouded because you had all this stress and you had anger. And so it restricted your ability to think. And in the home, when you're closing, you're thinking about, how do I get this person on paper? How do I get, what do I need to say to get them to say yes? See, you're already out of tune with the moment because you're not present for them. You're focused on your needs, trying to get the paycheck, trying to get the sale, trying to get it done, versus what's happening right here, right now with this person. And so a good salesperson is able to be so very present. And they're not worried about getting the sale. That's not really the point. They're worried about getting this homeowner the best solution. They're worried about what is the holdup for this homeowner, not in a negative, way, but so you start asking those questions. When you're present, you can adapt to the circumstances. When you're present, you can ask the right questions. When you're present, not only can you ask the right questions, but you can take what you know and make it work for you. And we can do this in sales and we can do this with our lives, but this is what I'm talking about. We need to think better. We need to think well. Life is fluid. Time, as we move through it, the circumstances are changing. I mean, think about, it was very different to sell before social media versus after social media. It was very different to sell back when there were no such thing as computers or the iPad. I mean, literally, we grew up selling when there was no such thing as an iPad. That's crazy. One year there's a recession, one year there's not. One year things like the pandemic, I thought things would tank. Well, nope, turns out there a whole set of circumstances results in everybody spending money on their homes now. The mood culturally is always changing. The attitude is always changing.
what worked for one generation doesn't necessarily work for the next generation. The best example of this is in Glengarry Glen Ross, when Jack Lemmon, it's so cringy too, but Jack Lemmon is, he goes for a sit, you know, for a meet, barges his way in the door, he's so over the top, can't connect with this homeowner at all. Now, Jack Lemmon was like a star salesman just 15 years prior. Now he can't sell a, close a job to save his job. You know, he walks in, he's like, oh, is this your dog? Oh, good boy, you know. Oh, you like to fish? Ooh, me too. I get out there every now and then. And the guy is looking at him like, why are you in my house? There's no authenticity, you know, and that whole over-the-top shtick, which worked back then. Well, the culture had changed. People, I mean, we're there now even more. People are valuing authenticity more than anything. So having good strategy means you are attuned to the present moment. Having good strategy in your own life means you're attuned to the present circumstances and situations of your own life. I love this quote by Yogi Berra. If you don't know where you are going, you will end up someplace else. If you don't know where you are going, you will end up someplace else. I think too often we just go through life, we get blown by circumstance, situation, and suddenly we're like, ah, how did I go from art school to owning a roofing company? No, I'm joking. But it's important to strategize when it comes to yourself. It's one thing to talk about all this, but I always like to have the practical application as well. So I got thinking, well, why don't we think well? Because everybody wants to think well, and I know I've had plenty of encounters and moments where I just don't think well at all. Some things that I jotted down that I, you know, why don't we think well? I made a list. Oftentimes we don't think well because we have these limiting beliefs about ourselves. So some examples, I pulled this off Tony Robbins' website. I don't have time. A lot of people have this limiting belief, I don't have time. And then that plays out through all facets of their life. And the part that they want to take control over, the part that they want to do, they never get there. Because that block keeps them from taking the right steps. I don't have what it takes. Huge limiting belief. And we compare. We look at TikTok. We look at people doing awesome things. Well, I don't have what it takes. Or we look at awesome sales guys. I don't have what it takes. We look at great leaders. I'll never be like that guy. I heard this all the time. I mean, this is not an overstatement. I had so many people in different markets tell me, well, you know, we can't be like Michael or we don't. Well, no, I don't have what it takes. Yeah, I mean, he's got an incredible dynamic personality. So maybe instead of saying I can't be like that, maybe borrow some of it or figure out what you need to change so you do have what it takes. But that's a fixed mindset. I don't have what it takes. I'm not strong enough. I don't deserve love is another example. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve success. There's these limiting beliefs that we buy into. Some of them are even subconscious and they affect our mentality. So we need to recognize those and start addressing those. This fixed mindset versus growth, which is I could shape whoever I want to be. I'm not there yet. Add yet to the phrase. Well, I'm not this yet. So I think that causes us to not think well because we have a fixed mindset. We have limiting beliefs. Number three, we have stress. Stress. Stress is scientifically proven to make you not think well. Stress, I was looking up a study from Walden University. They list just a couple. Stress limits our ability to adapt to change. So it limits our ability to adapt. Well, that's a problem because we've just spent most of the meeting talking about adapting to the present moment. Stress limits the ability to adapt to change. Chronic stress actually alters the brain chemistry and leads to poor decision-making. I started getting stressed just thinking about that. That could start to become a chronic condition where we just don't think well because we're chronically stressed out. We get stressed about our stress. Stress makes it difficult to make decisions. And then the more decisions we make in a day, the more stressed we actually become. That's a whole decision fatigue. So then it's like this crazy loop circle. I know, right? It's stressful to talk about. The fourth thing that popped in my head, emotion. Emotion for sure causes us to not think well. And by the way, this list of these top five things, this is what I've experienced when I'm not thinking well. Sometimes my greatest strength of being passionate and emotional is also my greatest takedown, greatest weakness. But this was interesting. I looked up a study on Inc. magazine, and they had four examples of ways emotion cause bad decision-making or not thinking well. Number one, excitement. Excitement can actually cause you to overestimate success. That's why casinos are bright and loud and noisy and lit up. They're exciting places to be because they want you to overestimate your chances of success. Anxiety can spill over into other decisions. So the sheer fact that I'm anxious about something in my life over here, that can actually spill over to other decisions. Sadness causes people to settle. So if you feel sad, they conducted a study where if you feel sad in business, like if you're depressed or sad or whatever, you are more likely to set your prices lower than your competitors. That's wild. You don't feel as confident, causes you to settle more easily. Anger, I've definitely messed this one up in the past. Anger can cause you to make rash decisions. Suddenly your judgment's clouded, you have the wrong focus. So I think those are some things to be aware of. Now, I had this sort of like, that's like why we don't do well, but the more practical application is how do we reset? How do we get ourselves on a path where we are thinking well? These are some things I've done. One, I think it's really important to get good sleep. If you're not rested, you're tired, you're cloudy, good luck. Number two, this is a big one for me. I've probably spent the last, 5 years or more just learning to recognize when I'm off. Actually, it's probably been more. So this is a big one to write down. Learn to recognize when you aren't thinking well. Learn to recognize when you're off. Learn to recognize what is the problem. What's going on? When you can recognize what's really going on, and this is probably part of being present, then you can start to respond with the appropriate measures. Learning to recognize when you're angry. Sometimes you feel a little anger coming on or you are angry, and learning to recognize that, call it out and go, you know what, I'm gonna take no action right now. I'm not gonna send that email. I'm not gonna make that phone call. I feel like I'm like just getting better at this. And this brings me to my third point. Establish a reset button. So this is something I've been doing for myself. I'm just gonna call it establish a reset button. So we've identified that we're off. We've identified we're not thinking well for XYZ reasons. So I need to have a reset button because it's really hard to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. So what's the reset button? Well, you'll have to define that for yourself. For me, sometimes it's taking a power nap. It could be breathing. It could be grabbing a quick workout. It could be a cold shower. It could be a hot shower. But have something where when you recognize I'm off, I'm not thinking well, I need a reset button, you know, what is it? Could be a glass of ice water, but find things that work for you where it starts to change your physiology, and it's probably gonna either be some movement or some breath work or some meditation or all of the above or a cold shower. In a cold shower, you hijack your vascular system. It's an automatic physiological, you know, hack. But there's these little hacks you can do. Number four, establish good habits and routines. Our minds are always looking for efficiency. So if we've got a nice, a morning routine can help you think better. Number five, create space to think. This is important. I feel like I've really been learning a lot about this over the last year, but it creates space to think. We are busy, we are distracted. There's a million, things going on. We need to create some time to just be quiet for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, think. And that, you know, it's important, and you can start to apply this to all the other areas. So it's not just sales, right? It's like, are you strategizing about your family? You know, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else. If you don't know where your family's going, you'll end up someplace else and go, how do we get here? You're strategizing how you want to be as a parent. You know, are you strategizing about what beauty in this world do I want to show my kids? Because the weekend will just happen. It happens to me. I've had plenty of weekends here that happen to me, and it's like 3 or 4 soccer games. Suddenly we're exhausted. We're watching a movie, but I really wanted to take my kids hiking because it was beautiful, and we missed it. A little bit of strategic thinking. Are you strategizing about your marriage? Strategy, a series of lines and arrows aimed at a goal. What is the goal in these different areas? And I'm telling you, I can speak from experience. When I have aim, when I have direction in relationships, in business, in music, in sports, in skiing, the other side of that is always surprising to me. It's always incredible. It's always more fulfilling. It's always more rich. From little things to big things. You know, just strategizing, having dates with my wife, profoundly impacting our relationship. But how easy is it with kids and life and work, and suddenly it's like you have a date every couple months? Well, what is that? When I strategize about fitness and health, suddenly it makes it much easier to take action, much easier to work towards that goal. And the other side of that goal is I feel better. I'm able to do things. If you strategize about your fitness now while you're young, your 60s and 70s and 80s will be vastly different than what they would have been otherwise. Anyway, get good sleep, learn to recognize what's going on, establish a reset button, establish good habits and routine, and then just create some space to think, create some space to strategize. You know, this whole word, the art of a general. Be a general and bring some art to it. Think big and think well.
For sure it's a process, but I want to encourage you, you can do this. You can strategize about your life. You can think better. You can learn to think better. And it should be an ongoing process. I know it is for me. So, and that effort will bring a lot of good things. Tune in next Monday. We have our first guest, the DJ for the Indianapolis Colts, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and the Indiana Pacers. DJ No has got some great life lessons, some great stories. Till then, be safe, be well, and be awesome. Bring it on all day.